We're carrying on. We're in the third week of our four-week series that we started off the year with called First Things First. We've been talking about sort of gaining some priorities as the year kicks off. What does it look like to have a few priorities lined up in the right place? The first one that we talked about is at the beginning of the year. First of the year, would you consider fasting and praying? And so a number of people have jumped on board with this, have given up something for the first 21 days of the year. There's actually a whole lot of other churches that do this as well. Plus, Foursquare Canada has been doing, did a week of fasting last week. Like, people are getting their hearts in the right place to try to get themselves expectant and looking to see what God might be doing in their life. And often a good way of doing that is fasting and praying. So if you want to know more about that, you can check it out online. But it's been fun. And by the way, who's been at Thursday night worship and prayer nights? Anyone? Man, those have been awesome. Often when we do a worship and prayer night, you think you're going to get 10 people there and they're just going to hang out and do their thing. We've had this whole bottom floor has been pretty full of people at both of the first nights, and this is the last one coming up this week. We'd love to have you all out and just fill this place up and worship Jesus and pray. We go for 1 hour, and I've had a few people tell me that we shouldn't cut it off, but we've cut it off right around 8 because we said we know that you maybe got babysitters or whatever, and you say, well, the Holy Spirit was moving. Well, he can move in your car on the way home and in your bedroom and whatever. The Holy Spirit moves here and moves all over the place. I mean, it's good. So we'd love to have you out on this Thursday to celebrate the last of our worship and prayer nights, which we soon will be doing on a regular basis through the year. But it's going to be awesome. Hey, we got a few woots for that. Okay. So that was the first, fast and prayer. Then the second week we talked about tithing and giving. First of the month, tithing and giving. And the idea that right off the bat we would recognize what we have in the not giving God our leftovers, but recognizing that we are blessed, that we have been given much, and to whom much has been given, much is required. And so we give back to God. That's what we talked about last week. Next week we're going to talk about first of the day, read your Bible and pray. It's the only one that's got a nice little feel to it. All the others don't. Read your Bible and pray. Anyways, and then this week we're talking about first of the week, worship together. Worship and gather. And so that's what we're on. In John 4, there's this moment that Jesus has with this woman. And she's a woman of a different cultural background from him, a woman with some slightly different beliefs than him, a woman that he shouldn't necessarily be talking to, and he catches her at a well, and she's quite sinful, and he's quite not sinful, and they meet together at this well, and Jesus and her start chatting about worship. They start batting around the idea, and she talks about how worship for you guys will happen over here, and for us it'll happen here, and for you it'll happen this way, and for us it'll happen this way. And Jesus eventually in John 4:23 says, well, the time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. You could spend a lot of time with that verse, and maybe we'll go home today and do that. But I want you to pick up on one word as we're getting into this concept of worship, that the Father seeks worshipers. That the Father has actually started something that worship is just a response to. That worship isn't us trying to coerce and work something out and get God to do something, and we're going to make this relationship happen even if he's fighting us on it. God has started something. He's initiated something, and we are responding. I've heard a great quote that says, worship is the human response to the divine initiative. That God wants relationship with you. That God cares about relationship with you. He's looking for relationship with you. And our worship is not us trying to create something. It's us responding to what he has already started. But the question is still, what do we do for worship? You know, what type of action should we do? At what point are we actually worshiping? And what do we need to do when we come to church, especially if you're new to church? Okay, what do I need to do? Do I sit? Do I stand? Do I roll? Do I do a handstand? Do I like shake my head or put my hands up like this or that or how many or what? And we sometimes bat this around. Different denominations have different ways of doing it. And I want to show you a little funny video that maybe many of you have seen. About hand raising, and this is a Christian comedian. Enjoy this for a moment as we get into it.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know, anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying, you're like, I can't. I want to, I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us. Feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to go post. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five, press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go. There's your big three. You're set.
As I watched this, on Friday, and I was thinking, I was remembering back to Thursday night worship and prayer, and I remember myself doing one of these. I thought, and he says only women do that one, so I felt a little judged, but that's all right. The reason we can kind of joke about this is because Jesus doesn't prescribe a specific way that it should happen. Your hands should look like this, or your body should look like this, or whatever. And in fact, in different denominations, you're going to look around and different people would say different things. Or some denominations that would look at us and say, oh, you guys are too emotional. You're just wrapped up in an emotion, and you're all over the place and doing things. For me, I'm thinking, well, God asked for our heart, soul, mind, and strength to love Him. And so if our bodies are in it, if our hearts are in it, I don't think that's a bad thing. And some from our denomination might say to others, you're too boring, or you're just sit there, or you can't worship like that. And we have these different ways of thinking about, really, if you're going to worship, this is what should happen. This is what it should look like. Here's where your hands should go, your feet should go, your body should go. This is what it should look like in worship. And Jesus doesn't really seem to speak about that a whole lot. He doesn't really seem to say this is exactly what it should look like. And he more talks about the Spirit and truth. He more talks about relationship and drawing into God. I want to encourage you, worship is not something, just something that you do, but worship is somewhere you dwell. Worship isn't just an action, but it's a state that you get yourself into. It's a place that you find, that you discover within yourself, where you are intimately connected with God. There's a great book that I showed to the first service and I forgot there, but this one is by Richard Foster. It's called Celebration of Discipline. And I don't know if anyone's read it in here. A lot of people hadn't heard of it in the first service, but I return to this book a lot every year, looking back at this book and rediscovering some things for myself and learning again. But one of the things that he says about worship, he just says, when you worship, it's that the spirit touches spirit. It's when God's spirit touches mine. It's when there's a deeper connection, when there's a relational intimacy that is not established in any other way. And we sometimes just make this look so bad by just saying, no, it's all about how I sing or how I raise my hands or all this. And God said, no, it's my spirit and your spirit. What does it take for you to give me your spirit? What does it take for you to give me your control? What does it take for you to give me your passions and your personality? Because then our spirits will touch. Richard Foster says, singing, praying, praising all may lead to worship, but worship is more than any of them. We can sing, and I like singing. It's good. My wife says I need singing lessons. I honestly, like sometimes I sing out over songs and she goes, Ev, you might want to take singing lessons just for those moments that you sing out like that. Like I don't even sing in a microphone. And I guess I need to work on some things, but I like singing. And we see that praise does some pretty incredible things. In fact, we see in Acts, if you read through it, it actually breaks off chains. That singing praises to God actually caused an earthquake, jail doors to open, prison doors to open just by singing to God and God doing something great. Like when we sing to God, when we give Him our hearts, when we do all of the things to Jesus Christ, something starts to take place. Something starts to happen for sure. And as it does, we discover worship. Worship is a dwelling in our heart. Worship is a place where we belong. Worship is the place of loving Jesus. And we can be this not just on a Sunday morning. We can be it everywhere. We can know His presence when we drive down the road. We can know His presence when we're talking to people, when we're at the grocery store, when we're making a decision, when we're at work. We can know His presence when we're disciplining our kids, when we're eating cereal with our kids, when they're spilling it all over your lap. You can know His presence. You can walk with Him. The daily practice of presence is a great thing for any Christian to get to know. That you start to grow past needing to get to church so that I can feel the presence of God. You start to learn how to give yourself over to God, not just in the moments where we're all singing together, but in every decision in your life, in everything that you're doing, the daily practice of presence. Brother Lawrence, a solid Christian fellow from a few years back, said, I cannot imagine how religious persons can live satisfied without the practice of the presence of God. And I suggest that I don't think we do live satisfied without the practice of the presence of God. You know, if we say we're Christians, we want to follow Him, and then we live our life and have no interaction with God whatsoever, we're going to feel dissatisfied in our life. We're not doing what we were made for. What we were made for is to be in that relationship with Him, is to have His Spirit touch our spirit, have our intimacy, have our relationship develop. This is what we're made for. Coming to church doesn't do it, right? Just showing up and singing some songs, however your hands are, it doesn't do that thing. It might for a moment, but if you don't take it with you, you're going to be dissatisfied. But then what starts to happen is that people feel like they get really good at this. They learn, they go to church, they hear a message like this, and then they start living their life, say, okay, good. I know how to live in the presence of God daily. I know how to walk out His presence. He has my heart. He has my passion. He has my everything. So I'm worshiping Him with my life. I'm dwelling in the place of worship, and it's all good, and that's great. And so now I don't ever need to come to church again. See, this is what sometimes starts to happen. And maybe not for you. Maybe you say, you know, I'm good. I don't do that. I'm here. But this happens a lot where we develop this state of worship. We say, what would be the point of gathering anymore? Why would I need to get together with anyone else anymore? I know how to do this on my own. I know how to walk in His presence on my own. I don't need to be with other people. He can come to me on my own, and I don't need to make it all work. I don't need them to do it. But I really believe that God is wanting to stir up in some of you, if that's you. That God, maybe you feel like you don't need this, but this needs you. The church that God designed was not meant to be a whole bunch of people doing their own thing, walking out the presence of God. It was meant to be a unified force on this planet. A unified plan, a unified vision, a unified purpose, a unified dream for bringing Jesus to this planet and welcoming people into His presence. We're meant to walk in His presence, but not give up the gathering and the worship that happens here on a Sunday. And so I think maybe God might be saying to us something similar to what He said to the Levites in Leviticus 6. This is when Jesus is talking about, or when God is talking about the worship that's going on. And worship is sacrifice all throughout the Bible. That's what we see for sure. Worship is never this nice, easy, fluffy, here we go. Worship is bringing your animal that you worked hard to grow and make strong and healthy and sacrificing it to God. That's how it was in the Old Testament. It was always a sacrifice. And here's what God says. God sets apart this priestly group of people, not so that they can go and be really priestly on their own and have a nice time with the presence of God, but so that they can make worship available to all other people. So that they can do something special with God. They can practice the daily, regular presence of God. And as they do, others can come and worship in that place. And so Leviticus 6, 8 to 13, here's how the Lord instructs them. The Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offerings. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning, and the fire must be kept burning on the altar. The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed on the altar and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off those clothes and put on others and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offerings on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out." Okay, we get it, God. Right? God, do you not know you just told us that? Okay, so guys, here's what you're going to do. I don't want the fire to go out. Okay, sounds good. No fire out. Okay, what next? Okay, I want you to wear these clothes. Okay, these clothes. And I want you to not let the fire go out. Got that, still there. Okay, sounds good. What else? I want you to burn these things. Okay, sounds good. And I don't want the fire to go. Yeah, we get it, God. We know, we hear you. We don't want the fire to go out. Yeah, sounds good. This was of vital importance to God. Because if the fire goes out, the sacrifice can't happen. If the sacrifice can't happen, worship won't take place. These Levites, this priestly tribe had to take care of making available the presence of God so that people could easily come and worship. Daily, do it. Hourly, do it. Every morning you get up, load wood on there. Make sure that it keeps going. Make sure it doesn't stop. Today I'm going to talk about four things that I've learned about burning fires because I since I moved to the Comox Valley, I've had two homes and both of them have wood-burning stoves. Has anyone else had those? No? Okay, a couple. I didn't know anything about that when I was in Victoria. A wood-burning stove sounded like what we see on Beauty and the Beast or something like that. Sounded like a romantic kind of tale. But I showed up, and I show up to a wood-burning stove, and I learned some things about burning wood. I learned some things about heating a stove and keeping a fire going just like this. And so the first one that I learned is exactly what God is teaching to them, that it's easier to keep a fire burning than get the fire started. When I first moved here and I tried to start a fire, I basically took a whole bunch of paper because I knew that starts really well. And I put it all in there And then I got a log about this round. I put it on top of there. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And you all laugh because you know that this doesn't work. If I said the same sermon in Victoria, they'd be like, sounds good to me. You know, what's wrong with that? Okay. So I go and light the thing. You know, fires up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I thought this was supposed to be hard. I'm so good at this. I didn't even go to Boy Scouts, but I'm a champion. So I go tell Kendall, you should see the fire start. This is nothing. Come on. Yeah, come and check it out. And it's like, there's nothing there. Because you can't light that thing up. You can't light that big log with just that paper. I didn't know that. I had to learn how to light a fire, but still what I do know is it's way harder to start a fire than maintain one. The priests had to keep it going because if not, then all of a sudden someone shows up with their sacrifice. Hey, I'm ready to give my sacrifice of worship. Here it is. I want to honor God with what I have. And there it is. Oh, okay, sorry. Let me just... Come on. No problem. Just wait a second. We're going to be... Do you have any blowtorch or anything? Like, it wouldn't have happened. People would be like, forget it. I'm not going to worship right now. Because they had to keep it going. And then all of a sudden someone could show up. I got my sacrifice. Boom. Let's just get this thing going. It's ready. Boom. You've worshiped. Sacrificed. You've given. Some of us have decided that because we're good at the practicing the presence of God, because we've learned to do the daily steps and follow Him, that we don't need to be involved anymore in the church. We don't need to be regular attenders. But some people are going to try to show up to the church, exploring, trying to figure out, trying to understand what this is all going to look like for them, trying to get what faith might look like in their life. And they need some of these priestly people who have kept the fire burning in their life, who have kept their faith kindled, who have kept themselves excited, who are dwelling in worship rather than doing worship, and they need them to be there for them. And if you just leave the church because you're good, I think you've missed the entire point of church. Church is us. Church isn't the ones who need it, and then once we graduate from it. Church is us getting on board. Church is us at all levels of faith. Church is us at unbeliever to 50, 60, 70, 80, 90-year believer. Church is us at uneducated and fully educated doctors with multiple doctorates. Church is us with no money and with millions of dollars. Church is us with no kids and loads of kids. Way more in the Comox Valley than Victoria again. There's a lot. We have three in there. Oh, are you not... You haven't even got started yet, you know? We'll see. Anyways, church is all of us coming together, being one. And those who have the presence of God and have learned how to walk in it need to be part of this. Need to be part of this. The second thing I've learned about fires is it doesn't take two fires to light two logs. It just takes one fire. You know that? Do you know that? Like, this is pretty basic stuff, I think, for most of us. But you don't have to sort of get a fire going over here. If you want a two-log fire and get a fire going over here, okay, we got two fire, and put them together, and then we have a fire. You start one fire, that's it. And when the fire starts, you put another log on, and it's not lit, but once it touches that one, it gets lit. And you put another one on, and it's not lit yet. You put it on there, and it gets lit up. Now, all of a sudden, we've got a fire of three logs, and how many fires did it take? One. One person in this room on fire for Jesus. One person in here learning to dwell in worship, learning to live that life of worship, is going to change the culture of our church. One person who shows up ready for something to happen on Sunday morning, as if this is the culmination of their whole week, because their whole week has been the presence of God. It's not like, I didn't do anything with God, I show up to church, and now I'm ready for God to do something. No, I've been doing life with God. It's been awesome. I've been having fun. I've been waking up, and He's been putting words on my mind. I've been talking to people. I've been sharing. I've been giving like crazy. I bought this guy lunch and this person coffee. I gave this person this random thing. I gave away my car this week. Anyways, now I'm in church. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. We need some of those fires in here. We don't need those people saying, nah, church is so stuffy and yeah, I don't care about it. We need them to be in here so that a couple other logs walk in. People. It gets lost somewhere. But anyways, they come walking in, and they just get beside that. And all of a sudden, they get lit up. Something starts in them. Something starts moving in their heart. It doesn't take multiple fires to light everyone up. It just takes one. What does it look like when someone who's lived in the presence all week shows up to church? I think what it looks like is instead of them coming and saying, okay, worship team, how are you going to impress me? Are you going to play the right songs at the right level, at the right with the right lighting, and make sure there's no spelling errors? Some of you have thought that. I can tell now some of you have been thinking, like, spelling error, I'm not worshiping today. I'm out. No, the difference is some of us come in and we say all of those things, and as long as you get it good, then I'm going to worship God. By the way, you get to heaven and say that to God, God's going to just slap you upside the head and say, you are goofy. But anyways, the difference is that the person who comes in that way, waiting for someone to impress them, waiting for someone to do something, the person who's been dwelling in the presence of God, worshiping in that place all week, practicing the presence, they'll show up into the room and they're going to start to look for the log that's not lit up. They're going to start to look for the one who's carrying a heavy load, and their shoulders are down, and they're slumped, and they're broken, and they're walking through things that you've never even known, maybe. And you're going to start to pray for that person. You're not going to walk up to them and say, hey, you look terrible, pray, you know. You're going to just start interceding for them. God lays them on your heart, and you're going to start praying for them. Watch how the culture starts to change. Watch how God might lift their shoulders. Watch how God might lift their eyes. Watch how they may be smiling by the time they leave, just by you sitting in your seat and praying across the room for that person. This is what happens when people who are living in the presence show up to church. They start seeing the pastor. Like, that pastor's preaching terribly. I'm going to start to pray for that pastor. I just had someone this morning say, I started a little while ago, God said that he wants me to pray for you every morning. So I pray for you every morning. I prayed that you would have a fire when you preach. And now we're talking about fire. So she thought that was pretty awesome. But honestly, preaching is a gift from God. Sometimes I can show up here and I can be stuck in my own head and I can't get out of it. I need some people who are looking around and not sitting there saying, oh, Evan is doing such a terrible job today. I can't believe this. But instead saying, God, he needs you right now because there are people in here who need the message that he's supposed to speak. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to lift him up. I'm gonna call on God for this worship team. They seem like they're not lining up together. And not instead of saying, I can't believe it. Did they even practice? Instead we say, what, God, you need to do something here. You're working some soil today. You're trying to get things moving in some hearts. You need to be moving. And so, God, I pray for this worship team that it would be heavenly music, that we would hear something incredible, that we would see lives changed as they're singing, that person would have a voice like they've never had, that musician would play like they've never played. This is what happens when people who've been practicing the presence all week show up to church. They show up and everything gets better. Culture starts moving forward. Lives are changed just because a fiery little log is sitting in their seat. I pray for you and I pray for you and I pray for you and good things happen. Come on. Be awesome. So, two things I've learned. It's easier to keep the fire burning than get the fire started. It doesn't take two fires to light two logs. It just takes one. Third, more wood equals greater intensity. Sometimes we just say, I'm just doing my own thing, and I'm happy doing my own thing, and I'm going to worship in my house by turning on Bethel Online or whatever it is that you decide to watch, and now I'm going to worship, and this will be awesome, and now I'm really fired up, and it's exciting. Well, that's great. That's one little fire. But what happens with one little fire when you start chucking a whole bunch more wood on there? It gets hot. It has power. It takes on a new strength that it never had before. This is what happens when we gather together. We're unified. We're all just burning. That's all it is. We all just show up and we start pointing to Jesus and something starts happening that one of us had a little thing going on, one of us had a little thing going on. But when we all come together, man, that lights up. It starts to move forward. I love it when Pastor Alan pulls back and let us sing today a little bit. Didn't you love that? I love when I start hearing all of our voices saying the same thing, believing the same thing, calling out the same thing. When I speak a message, all of us hear the same thing, and we're going in the same direction. When all of us are together on that, it's way more powerful than one of us having a little burning log over here. It doesn't matter how strong your faith is, how much money you have, how much influence you have. You're not going to become more powerful than the church that Jesus built to change this world. So let's get together on this. It's easier to keep the fire burning than get the fire started. It doesn't take two fires to light two logs, just one. More wood equals greater intensity. And fourth, flames come fast, coals take a while. Worship team, you can come on up. One of the things that I've started that's really hard for me to handle is when people... their whole life, their whole worship life is about finding the presence of God in different worship venues. I want to encourage you, if you want the presence of God in your life and you want to see the presence of God move in a group of people, commit yourself to the local church. Just get yourself there and stay there. Don't hear about something down the road and say, I can't believe it. This is going to be awesome. We need to go and see the power of God move there. Why don't you start to believe for the power of God to move here? Believe that God's going to do something special here. And yeah, sure, he'll do something special. That's awesome. When I finish a fire at my house, or when it starts running low, if I had a big old fire going, when you look at it, it is hot coals. The coals are hot. Like I could take a fresh cut, green, soaking wet, covered in snow piece of wood, chuck it in there, and it lights up. It's so hot when the coals are all sitting there together. If I instead grab one of those coals and chuck that one on my grass and that one over there and that one, see you later, and put them all over, they have basically no strength. When we all decide we're going to commit to this one thing and stay there, when God fires us up and we get moved by the Spirit and we all of a sudden discover something new in our hearts, we've been burnt, we've been just fired up, we become these coals. And as we sit together, that any new person that comes in, anything that shows up, we have something to offer them. If we all instead decide, I better go find another fire, then all of a sudden the church loses all its power, loses the presence. God has called us to be unified, to be together. Lots of people decide that it's a really spiritual thing to just travel wherever God travels because the local church isn't really what the Bible talked about. Well, for me, the local church is where people are getting saved. The local church is where people are showing up to come and find out about Jesus. The local church is where people are looking if they want to know who Jesus is. If all the Christians are just leaving the local church to go to the other to find the presence or to go serve the kingdom or whatever, the local church loses what it had. It loses the potential that it had. It loses the focus that it had. God called us to be unified. And so I want to see us have mature Christians, and we do, but I want more of them, who are going to sit in coals together, rubbing their little warm faith together so that anyone who comes in will be fired up for Jesus, would know the hope that Jesus brings, would know the life that Jesus brings, because we're here, we're committed, we're for what God is doing, we're believing, and as we practice the presence, we're seeing him move. We've had some neat stories around this church this last month even, but 2016 as well. And I really believe that it's because people are learning to practice the presence of God at home. So when they show up here, they're not waiting on their church or their pastor or all of us to inspire them and ignite them. But they're here because they're ready to encourage. I think there's two areas of development as far as worship goes. One is that if you feel like you need this service and your faith isn't strong enough through the week if you don't have this service, then you shouldn't stand alone. And I'm so glad that we have people like that in our church, because we're here. We're for you. We're believing in you. We don't want you to stand alone. Come on back. If you're weak, if you can't handle your week and it doesn't work out, come on back. We'll encourage you again. We'll dream for you again. We'll pray for you again. We'll believe in you again. But then what happens, I think the other area of development and that it really needs to be addressed is when people feel like they grow out of the church. I needed it. Now I don't need it. Now I'm out of here. If you don't need this gathering, then be what the people who do need it to be their need. Meet their need. You're going to see some single moms walk in this church, carrying their kids like this, pushing a stroller across like this, you know. My wife has been in stores at times with three kids and wandering around, and people will come up to her and she's trying to get out the door, and oh, wow, your hands are full. See ya, you know? Let's not be a church like that, hey? Let's be aware of who's showing up. You know, a mom coming in and pushing the, open the door for them. Take a kid, if they let you. And if you have your criminal record check done and all that. Help them out. Care for them. Maybe someone coming in here just heavy and broken, and here sort of, we don't want to be a church that looks at them and say, oh my, that person sure looks like they're having a hard time. Well, isn't it good that our church is reaching those people? I hope they find what they need. Go be what they need. Go care for them. You're a coal. You're not some unlit log. You're a coal. You've got life. You've got what they need. Go be it. Go be that for them. Let's be a church like that. All of a sudden, people will be coming with all sorts of their needs, and we're not going to let people sit in their needs. We're going to say, get lit up, and you become a coal with us, and then you're going to help us take care of other people's needs as well. This is the church. This is what we're going to be. This is what we're going to fight for. This is what worship will look like for us. It's not what we do. It's where we dwell. God, thank you so much. You love us. Given us this place, you've given us this church. Thank you, God, that we don't have to come here and then have nothing left through the week, Lord, that your presence can go with us, that you can lead us, that we can give you our daily life, and that is worship to you, God. And as we do it, I pray that we would recognize we are growing stronger, not so that we can pull away from the church, but so we can love the people in the church. We have loads of people coming, Jesus. I thank you so much for all the new people that are coming to our church and want to be a part of it. I pray that the mature Christians wouldn't be leaving, deciding they need to do their own thing, but they'd be investing in those who you're bringing to your kingdom, Lord. Help us to be coals here together so that we can see more and more come on fire for Jesus. Know who you are. Know the joy you bring. Know the life you bring. Know that you care about carrying their babies for them and helping them. Know that you care that they have a full stomach. Know that you care that they're about their marriage and how they're walking through it. Know that you care about their sick kids and all they're going through. Lord, thank you so much that you care. Help us to be the same. Let it be worship to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today, if you say, actually, I don't know that presence at all, I don't even know what it is, and I'd love to hear about that and know about that more, fill out a Connect card for us. It's right in front of you. Just write your name. Say, I want to know more about walking in the presence with Jesus, and Pastor George is going to call you this week, and he'd love to just let you know about who this Jesus is, what he has for you, how to get plugged in with other people who are here trying to walk out the same journey as you, being imperfect altogether, seeking the perfect Jesus. Okay, fill it out, drop it off at the info desk. We'd love to hear from you. Bless you all this week. Love you. Let's be the church. Let's not just do worship. Let's dwell in worship. And as we do, watch some lives changed around us. Amen? Amen. Why don't we all stand? You can head out. See you next week. These guys are going to sing us out of here. Bring someone next week. Hey, see you soon.